City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast. This is show 176. I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm Amy Matheny.
Hi.
Hi, baby. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
It is frightful.
It's cold, brr.
Sweeney. You saw Sweeney Todd. What'd you think?
I did.
You didn't like it. You didn't like it. Have you ever seen the musical?
Yes.
You have seen it.
Yes, I have seen the musical.
Okay.
And it's not that I didn't like it. I just didn't like Johnny Depp.
Really? Because he won the big Golden Globe.
He won the Golden Globe. And I just
first time he's ever won a Golden Globe. How is that even freaking possible? He's a talented guy.
Yeah, but he tends to play almost the same dark, shady character in a bunch of different lights. I mean,
I don't know. At least Finding Neverland, very different. Benny and June, very different.
Says her hands the same, the crow the same,
the one Gilbert the Grape. I mean, I don't know, lately he's maybe been in a
it's just
Caribbean
been this,
and yeah, Scissorhands and this is all kind of a bit cartoonic.
It's all kind of the same thing, but visually, of course, it's a Tim Burton film, so it's goth porn, gorgeous goth porn. Helena Bonham Carter, you just want to eat up her breasts because she looks so wonderfully
she got a nice bosom.
Milky white. That it was so eerie. I mean, it's an eerie show to begin with when you see it on the stage, but you sort of suspend disbelief because of it's on the stage and they can't. You're not looking directly at it, but like watching him slit many throats and the whole it when the body goes in the basement. I mean, you know, most of the people listening kind of know what's going on in that movie by now, so I'm not really giving anything away. And then for me, always, anytime I see a giant furnace, it just takes me back to like
Hansel and
Freddy
Gretel.
It takes me back to Freddy Krueger, and it freaks me the fuck out. So it was very eerie, and of course, it was dark and grimy. And Tim Burton, you are just such a wonderfully twisted man. I love you.
So you love the direction. You just didn't love
Johnny. I love the
direction.
I love the cinema. I did not like him. And the things I liked about the musical and the characters I like in the musical and the reason I like them, I just didn't feel any of that.
Huh.
I didn't feel like anybody was really likable. Even the quote-unquote good characters in the musical, in the original musical, you don't feel that way for them in the movie. At least I didn't.
Yeah.
So I know I'm the polar opposite of a lot of people who seem to love him, but I didn't feel it for him. He basically has one look and one note the entire time and he just milks it.
I just have not seen any movies, and I was just looking at the top movies that you should see, the top movies of this Oscar year, and I haven't seen any of them.
Uh-oh.
I'm so behind. I have to tell you. So I'm excited. Kelly's a SAG member though, so we just got a copy of Hairspray in the mail, so I'm very excited that I get to see
that yet.
I've never seen it either. So I'm excited to watch that. I do have to
say,
I'll make
you donuts if you invite me over.
All right, donut holes or donuts?
Donut
with
holes.
Hole?
I don't. Not the ring donuts. The
all
little,
right.
Little spoon. Because you put it in your hand and you squeeze it out the top and then you spoon it off and.
All
it.
Right.
It's
I'll
very
have a hole.
Tactile.
I'll have the.
You
holes.
Got two of them. Girl.
I like the holes. But I just have to say a little bit of a squeal. We didn't talk about this last week, but I'm just so freaking excited that Mad Men won the best drama for the Golden Globes and that John Hamm did. And it's never ever that network has never won an award, you
FX?
Know? No,
oh,
AMC.
Oh, I'm sorry, AMC.
Which is so cool to win the best drama.
They've
but
been nominated for a lot, though.
Have they?
Because over time, the Poirot stuff.
Anything.
They, yeah, I don't. I think you're correct.
But they've
about
never
the wins.
Been nominated like in the best drama category. This is the biggest award of the whole night, and so it's very, very huge. But you know, we continue to every year the Harris poll. They continue to poll like who does America love, like who is America connecting with, right? And for the first time. After 5 years, she's been in the bottom five. in the top 10. But the top spot this year finally went to Ellen DeGeneres. She is the favorite television star of the year. And because after 5 years at number one, Oprah Winfrey has dropped to second place. So Ellen has bested Oprah. It has happened. And it's really interesting because most of the top 10 are talk show hosts. I don't know if we just feel like we know them.
Yeah.
Also rounding out the top 10 are people like Hugh Lowry, who I don't even watch this house show. I don't know what it is.
I don't.
But then Homer Simpson. As a cartoon character. But you know what's interesting is I say that, you know, men and women differ, Democrats, Republicans. I figure out this whole thing of like how
the matrix of it all.
Right. The whole matrix is that men like Leno more, women like Ellen more, single women like Ellen more than married women who like Oprah. I mean, they can divide it. That's because all the lesbians like Ellen. But it's really, really interesting. But they do say Republicans' favorite person on television is Bill O'Reilly, and Democrats' favorite person on television is Ellen DeGeneres.
How interesting.
And Oprah Winfrey. Independents like Jay Leno. So
does that
it's
mean
just,
that sitting on Ellen's couch holds more gravitas than sitting on Oprah's couch?
I guess
couch?
So. They say that if you're liberal, the Ellen DeGeneres and Jon Stewart are the favorite two people. Mm. So for liberal issues, liberal, you know, personalities, they want to be on either Ellen DeGeneres or Jon Stewart. And it's just interesting that all of this that we just associate with real people, real talk show people, like nobody's saying, I don't know who, like who would be a great, nobody's saying Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy. I'm trying to think what's a really big hot show.
Bill Paxton.
Or somebody from CSI. Right. I think those are such ensemble driven shows that truly like our icons are still the Johnny Carson, Bob Hope. I mean, this is a trend, right? That we have these people who are either news or Walter Cronkite. These people that I think
not
we
a Katie
feel,
Kirk, not a Matt Lauer.
Yeah, they're not on it. I mean, I don't think there are any. The only
any
morning,
newscasters?
No, the only, well, I mean, if you consider any nighttime, Letterman's in the top 10, Stephen Colbert, Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly is not really a newscaster either. So no, last year Kiefer Sutherland was on, but he got knocked off the top 10.
Yep.
Uh-huh, and Conan was on. But it's just very, very interesting that a lesbian.
Yeah.
A lesbian who's not known as like a sexy lesbian, just like your every girl next door kind of funny lesbian. I mean, you know, and she's so freaking quotable. Kelly and I were watching television last night. We're watching the news and they were doing one of those things where we have TiVo, so we don't watch commercials very often, but this was something we had taped like a week ago because we're a little behind and we're watching something and they said, it's one of those, what do you call them? Like they're a kickback. You call it like a bump in radio where you say something like, I don't know. Our podcast's on the rise. This coming up at 9 o'clock tonight on WGN News or whatever, like the tease or whatever.
Yeah.
And we saw something that was a tease and Kelly just started laughing. She goes, do you remember when she goes, Ellen DeGeneres, do you remember her whole bit about it's on your plate and it could kill you at 9 tonight on the news, you know? And she said, you know, Ellen DeGeneres goes, is it peas? You know? I mean, I think there's just this good common everyday observance thing that she has that really to think of where she was though, because I was reporting during the puppy episode and reporting when she lost her show of just now like this triumphant sitting on top of the pie, you know,
but going back in the closet basically.
Well, I don't feel like she has gone back in the closet. I think she's very public with Portia. I think that they
are not on her show.
Oh, not on her show,
not
I don't
her show.
Think. But I think that she is in the real... Well, David Letterman doesn't talk about his wife ever. He mentions his child sometimes.
Right, but I'm not saying she has to talk about Portia. I'm saying that when Rosie got near the end there, she was a little more open with what was going on.
Well, Kelly would be in the audience.
But not necessarily
like
that she was talking about Kelly, that she didn't need Kelly to justify her lesbianness, or she didn't need Kelly to talk about lesbians or things like that. And especially when Rosie was on The View, that she really, and granted, The View and Ellen DeGeneres shows two completely different styles of television, no doubt about it. But I felt that she addressed lesbian issues and she talked about things more. I would love to see Ellen. And granted, it's not necessarily in her format, but she still could swing it.
It's not her humor, though. It's not her humor. Gay humor's never really been her humor.
It doesn't have to be gay humor. Like she can, something humanitarian. Like, we know that lesbians have a problem with smoking. We know that there's this huge thing going on.
Right, she talked about when she tried to quit smoking. She talked about that, and she happens to be a lesbian, so.
But it's not, it's in this.
I think they've been kind of public. I really disagree with you. I feel like Portia saying, Ellen's the reason I got over my eating disorder, talking about very candidly in interviews about her and Ellen discussing. I don't think she uses it in her 1 hour format, but she. I don't think
she's allowed
to
use it in a 1 hour format, which is what I'm. That's my point.
Oh, I think she owns her format. I think she can probably say whatever she wants. You know, her one of her opening jokes when she did the was it the Emmys right after 9/11 was what's going to piss off.
Right.
You know.
But that's not her show. This is my point. It's great to say it when you're not on set. It's great to say all this stuff everywhere else. But if she has to clean up her act to, and I'm not saying she has to, but she just doesn't talk about being gay. She doesn't talk about being a gay person on her show.
Right.
And that's the problem I have with her. And that's what I wish we could have. Now, granted, everybody knows she's gay and she has this big popular show. That's such a win for us. That's so good. But I would like to see her address some sort of gay issue. And she can do it with humor. God knows she can do it with humor. That she can do some good by it. Yeah. Because I think she's just talking to the soccer moms, et cetera. And that's cool, but hey, that's what Oprah does.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I disagree, but I think that what's great about her is that her format's not really about you, the audience member.
Right.
Oprah's is about you, the audience member. I'm talking to you. How can we change your life? Right. What are the topics you need to know about? Oprah's whole thing is like this cause du jour, this creating change, this finding the better you. I mean, this is really in showing you people that have gone through that. Right. That's really Oprah's whole thing. And every now and again, she has celebrity interviews because she can get them. Ellen's whole thing is introducing us to individuals. And I don't feel like sitting down on the couch with a person. She's not into any kind of global movement in the same way Oprah is. I mean, Oprah's trying to make Mississippi not be the fattest state next year. Like, that's her thing. Like, she's gonna make sure Mississippi is not the fattest state when it comes down next year, that they
finally
are not going to be 50.
For the US.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, you know, everything, her whole thing is about changing the world. And Ellen is just sitting on the couch talking with you. And maybe she could include more of GLBT issues in that. But
I think she could. And I think she.
She's closeted. I don't feel like she and Portia. The nice thing is she was not closeted when she started it. Right. Rosie had to come out after she already had the talk show.
Right.
So I think she felt like she had to do something different then.
Yep.
And Ellen has just been the same since she's been there, and she's done interviews with Portia, and they've talked about their issues. And I don't know.
I want to hear it during her show. I want to hear that kind of stuff during her show, because I think that will really get inside people's heads, and that'll say, hey, wait a minute. This woman's really cool. I've liked her for so many years, and I know she's gay, but she doesn't ever talk about being gay, so that's cool to
me. Well, obviously the liberals like her. Yeah, she's the number one liberal person, and the Democrats like her, so I don't think anybody is that worried about what she's doing. She's not polarizing enough to not be on number on top. So it's just a huge thing. It's a big day. I think Oprah's had that spot for many, many, many years. So
and she knew it too. So now she's got to be a little scared.
They're good friends. So it's kind of funny. Isn't that funny?
Well, I don't know if all of you listening remember Mike Jacoby. We had him on a number of shows ago. We had Mike on, and we also had Ivy Bettini and Serena Worthington. These are all names that are associated with my own cause, getting to know the elder community, the GLBT elderly community. Mike's movie, 10 More Good Years, it's at 1010moregoodyears.com, has just been picked up. He's going to license it to both the Sundance Channel and to Logo.
Yeah.
So that's a huge win for everybody who hasn't seen this. Logo is going to start in July, and they'll be airing it for an entire year. Not over and over again, but it'll be on frequently. So it's a wonderful thing for him, and it's a wonderful thing for our community, because so many people, especially now in this information age, don't realize that, you know, our elders have problems, and if their problems aren't fixed, by the time we become elders, we're going to have those same exact problems. So congratulations, Mike. That's just a wonderful, wonderful win for you and for all of us. Also, just because he's licensed to those channels doesn't mean he makes a lot of money. So donations to continue to work on this film and do all that stuff, you can take care of all that. Read more about it at 10more. That's 10moregoodyears.com. That's for Mike.
Well, today on our show, if you've ever thought that the butch femme or the girly and the boyish in the lesbian community was something that you really didn't understand, or you don't believe, or it's a fallacy, or are there two perspectives, or what is it? Well, there's a popular column, the number one popular column in Curve magazine, Lipstick and Dipstick, who give you their advice. And we are so thrilled today that on the show that we are going to be bringing you Lipstick and Dipstick, who are Gina Daggett and Kathy Belge.
Kathy.
Lip and Dip. And they have a brand new book out, and it's called Lipstick and Dipsticks, Essential Guide to Lesbian Relationships. They're going to talk to us about really just the nuts and bolts of what makes them work. And let me tell you, they talk about sex, but they also talk about lots of complicated and messy topics that I found fascinating.
They're gay advice columnists. How awesome is that, that we have sort of gay Dear
Butch
Abbeys?
Fam. I know.
That's
gotta love
brilliant.
It. Abby had her sister, right? There were the two of them. Dear Abby and Dear Anne. Anne Landers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Abby.
Yeah.
Abby Landers, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. Something like that. Know. These girls are not sisters. And they're not
time.
And they're not a couple, but they do have a lot to say. So and just really fun and delightful. So Lipstick and Dipstick from Curve Magazine on the show with us today, plus lots of news. Mm-hmm. And we're telling you what's going on in the art scene all after this.
From the producer of Les Miserables and The Phantom of the Opera comes a glorious new production of one of Broadway's greatest musicals, Lerner and Lowe's My Fair Lady.
All I want is a room somewhere.
Direct from London, critics have hailed this dazzling new production as magnificent, lavish, and delightfully entertaining. A standing ovation. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette raves hilarious, a joyous romp. My Fair Lady features one of Broadway's most celebrated scores, including I Could Have Danced All Night, The Rain in Spain, and Get Me to the Church on Time. Lerner and Lowe's My Fair Lady.
Coming to the Cadillac Palace Theatre January 22nd through February 3rd. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Cast album on First Night Records.
Culture Club.
Culture
Club.
Culture
Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative. Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 21st, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Writers Theater presents The Turn of the Screw by Jeffrey Hatcher from the story by Henry James. Time Out Chicago calls it surprisingly and creepily suggestive. An unsuspecting governess is hired to look after two seemingly innocent children who soon reveal terrifying secrets. The Sun-Times raves, eerie as ever, Screw will mesmerize you. For tickets to The Turn of the Screw, go to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Now playing Hephaestus, a Greek mythology circus tale, returns to Looking Glass Theater in the Water Tower Waterworks. The Wall Street Journal calls it explosive, dazzling, and dangerous. For tickets to Hephaestus, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
About Face Theater presents Douglas Carter Bean's Tony Award-nominated play, The Little Dog Laughed. The Tribune calls this production hip, sharp, and funny. And the Sun-Times says it's a self-referential comedy laced with mildly homoerotic scenes. Can a hot Hollywood actor keep his sexuality under wraps? The Little Dog Laughed is playing now through February 17th at the Hoover Leppin Theater at the Center on Halsted. Visit aboutfacetheater.com.
Court Theater artistic director Charles Newell adapts and directs Titus Andronicus, Shakespeare's riveting tale of jealousy and revenge. Relish this new adaptation as a modern saga of privilege and entitlement, brimming with aggression that is just a facade. Or is it? Titus Andronicus plays through February 10th. For tickets, call 773-753-4472 or visit courttheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
While lesser men strapped on skates and played hockey, you donned skin-tight leotards and a teeny cowboy hat and learned figure eights.
Going round and round.
You practiced and practiced, hoping, knowing, someday, you'd be good enough to wear a giant puppet costume and skate in an ice show.
Welcome to the big time.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser. Mess up and fall on your butt, and you're still a crowd pleaser. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tights. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny too.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Bud Light Beer and
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee is taking heat for anti-gay comments he made in a BeliefNet.com interview, where Huckabee said that legalizing gay marriage opens the door to legalizing bestiality and pedophilia. Huckabee said, quote, "I don't think that's a radical view to say we're going to affirm marriage. I think the radical view is to say that we're going to change the definition of marriage so that it can mean two men, two women, a man and three women, a man and a child, and a man and an animal."
Oh, take it there. Researchers at the University of California say that sexually active gay men in San Francisco are more likely to contract a highly drug-resistant strain of staph bacteria. The potent strain of MRSA, which attacks skin and the tissue underneath it, is resistant to multiple drugs.
University of Utah study finds that bisexuality in women should qualify as a distinct orientation. The study, which was published in Developmental Psychology, strives to debunk the myth that bisexuality is a phase. The study also suggests that sexuality appears to be very fluid among many women.
National nonprofit Soul Force wants to engage six of the nation's mega churches in dialogues about GLBT acceptance. The organization hopes to bring same-sex and straight families to various mega churches across the U.S. to discuss spiritual acceptance with the church leaders. One of the leaders of Soul Force invited to participate is Reverend Bill Hybels of Willow Creek Community Church in Barrington, Illinois.
A founding member of the Mattachine Society, one of the first gay rights organizations, has passed away. Kenneth Burns died December 16th of lung failure. Burns was president of the Mattachine Society in the mid and late 50s.
Adamo Ruggiero, who plays the gay character Marco on Degrassi, The Next Generation, just came out of the closet. Ruggiero, age 21, has been playing the role of the gay teen for the past 6 years. The young actor came out during an interview with a Canadian website and said he wanted to join the ranks of out actors in order to serve as a role model for GLBT youth.
Hey. Everybody's favorite train wreck singer Amy Winehouse has a new do. The rehab crooner is sporting a bleached blonde hairdo sans her trademark beehive at husband Blake Felder Civil's recent court hearing.
Speaking of hair, Bravo TV's hit reality competition shows Top Design and Sheer Genius are having casting calls across the United States the next couple of weeks. So designers and hairstylists, you should all visit bravotv.com/casting for more.
And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Hi, this is Betty Buckley, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast with your hosts, Amy and Peter.
Lipstick and dipstick, popular advice columnists you know from Curve magazine. They give it to you straight, so to speak. And what is the relationship of the femme and the butch, or the tomboy or the girly girl? Well, their new book, Lipstick and Dipsticks, Essential Guide to Lesbian Relationship, expands on the magazine's number one column to bring you frank, direct tips on all aspects of girl-girl relationships. And hey, you know what? This book is insightful. It is thorough, which I'm always appreciative of people who are very thorough. And it is hilarious. It is quite funny. And you can really just hear the two voices of these fabulous women coming through. So I am glad that not only you get to hear these voices through this book when you're reading it, but you get to hear them with us both on the Queercast today. Hey, how are you? I guess I should say that your respective names, Lipstick is Gina Daggett and Dipstick Kathy Belge, and we're just so glad to have Gina and Kathy with us.
Welcome.
Yay, we've been looking forward
to it. Hello, Chicago.
Hey, you got to love Chicago, right? Because we really get down to relationships here. It's so fucking cold. We're all inside trying to just be with at least one person that wants to be around us, you know?
That's such a lesbian thing.
It's true.
What else is there to do, right, but cuddle and work out issues?
Yeah, I think so. Well, that's obviously coming from Gina, right?
Oh, my God, my mouth.
That's right.
My mouth is agape.
Dipstick's out in the weather.
Yeah, you're out on the weather?
I'm out in the weather.
Oh, you're out in the weather. Well, that's okay. That's where you should be, because otherwise how are lipsticks going to survive? It's just not going to happen. Hey, tell me how you two came together. And I don't mean that in any dirty way. And started to write this column for Curve.
You know, it is a common misconception that we're a couple, but we're actually not. And we met at a pizza party for our local gay paper. We were both writing for Just Out, the Portland gay paper. And I sat next to Gina, and She had this little fuzzy sweater on, and I made fun of it. And
and her jeans were so 1987, so I let her know that.
They were 501s, okay.
Oh.
Yum.
Anyway, that's how our bantering began, and that's where we met.
Wow. And it was just instant chemistry, right? The conversation and the perspectives and the point, counterpoint?
It really started there.
There's a very organic friction, and not, you know, in that sense, but between the two of us. And it's and I think it comes across on the page and in the magazine and in the book about how, you know, it's very organic, very different people, but we're both lesbians and we have different perspectives for sure.
So, and one of the things I like is that, and I'll talk about this with the new book and also with just, we're going to hear that even in this interview and also in your column, is that people kind of get two sides to every question, and you're both fully involved in conversations, and that's kind of how the flow of the book goes. So I want to come back, because people are coming to you with the column. Do they write the same questions? Are all our problems just virtually the same? Or are they varied? And has there been anything that has truly just shocked either of you that you've gotten as a question or advice needed for something that just shocked the shit out of you? And I just wanted to say shock the shit, because that was fun. It was fun for me.
We're constantly amazed how many people write into us. We get 1 to 2 questions a day from all over the world, all over the country, but certainly all over the world. And you know, it is. We're starting to notice a lot of the same issues popping up.
Yeah, some of the issues we deal with a lot are differences in sex drive, the dreaded lesbian bed death. We deal with a lot of jealousy issues around ex-girlfriends. You know, and to answer your question about the shocking, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's necessarily a question, but I'm constantly shocked by amount of low self-esteem some women have.
Wow. Mm. Yeah. And when you're talking about two women together, does that just kind of double up on the self-esteem for a couple? Or do anybody write you in a couple kind of way, like a couple writing as opposed to an individual?
Have we had any couple of letters yet?
No, you know, not really, but we've had some people write in, and then the couples find out that they did, or that not the couple, but the partner, and we've had some people get in trouble, and we've had some interesting conversations that way.
Yeah.
So why a book? How did the move happen from column to book?
Well, you know, we were kicking the idea around for a book, and Allison Books actually emailed us out of the blue through our website, just like they would write in a question to Lipstick and Dipstick, and said, "Hey, have you guys ever thought about writing a book?" And we were like, it was so serendipitous because we'd put it out there in the universe. And we said, sure, you know, we'd love to. And that's pretty much how it started.
And Dipstick, did you know exactly how you wanted to format and structure this book if you had the opportunity to write one?
Well, once they approached us, we knew we wanted to write a lesbian relationship book because we saw that there was a need for one. And we definitely knew we wanted it to be conversational, and we knew it had to be different from what was out there, and that we had to bring our sense of humor to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hopefully that's what we did.
Well, and I think you do. I think one of the interesting things, Peter and I do this. This is what we do. Peter and I just sit here and we talk and we gab
chat.
And girls sit down and have a cup of coffee and we talk. Mm. And I'm wondering if that was, what was your process in writing this book? Because it is almost like reading an online conversation, but a much smarter and well thought out online conversation. But I mean, it has that wonderful kind of conversational feel that you'd have on a podcast or on a radio show or two great people who blog or IM each other. Mm-hmm. So how did you do that? Did you always have to be sitting side by side once you discovered the structure and what topics you'd be discussing to write?
You know, it's interesting. We're very nomadic as writers, and we do get together a lot and talk about different topics and figure out our ways in, especially with the book. But we did a lot of the writing apart from each other, and so we're so glad that it sounds like we're sitting across the table from each other, because it could have gone either way, I suppose.
Yeah.
So the process for us was brand new, and it was really interesting for us to just try and figure out how to get all of this content. And we had way more content than we needed, because the lesbians really do need help. And we really narrowed it down, believe it or not. to what we thought was the most were the most important issues. So
we're a sad lot, aren't we, lesbians? We just live up to our stereotype. We're a sad lot. We need help. We do need help, though. These things have not been discussed. Peter, you have something?
What's that, Peter?
No, go for it. Go for it.
You know, in a relationship where friendship equals foreplay, we need all the help we can get. I mean, that's one of the big issues that we deal with is, you know, the very, very, very thin line between friend and lover and the lesbian community. You know, it's a big issue.
Yeah.
So that we tackle that a lot in the book about how to respect that line and boundaries, which is always good.
So what I want to know is the title of the book, The Essential Guide to Lesbian Relationships. To me, that's a pretty hefty fucking title. That's you know, that I would expect this out of like 80-year-old dykes talking with each other and hanging out. And these two,
because they'd have lived it all.
Because they'd have lived
it all.
How did you guys, did you start out saying this is going to be about relationships? Or was it just, oh God, how are we going to narrow this all down? Because, I mean, that's just a pretty scary title. For me, I want to read it so I'll know more about all the lesbians, and I'd be like, no,
he's
girl.
He's intrigued.
Stay
he
away,
really is.
Stay away from her. But I mean, seriously, that it's the guide to lesbian relationships. That sounds like a hefty title.
You know, it sounds hefty, but it's really light. It's only, 225 pages. And, you know, we do cover a lot. We cover everything from when you first meet someone to keeping the love alive when you're old and, you know, when you are the 80-year-old lesbian sitting back and looking back at your life. So we're trying to cover it all.
How did you keep it, or is it, it, was it always so personal? Was it your personal experience? Was it experiences of your friends? Was it purely just what you did in the column? How do you amass these answers? Because that's just fascinating to me. Because I was like, girl, where's the one for the gay men's, and when can I get it?
You know, it was, gosh, that's a good question. You know, it was, we didn't really have a formula when we went into it. We just kind of trusted our gut, as we always do when we write the column, and, you know, bring in our own personal anecdotes whenever we feel it's necessary. And certainly we have a lot to pull from, from the letters that we get and the women that we meet at events. And I mean, people come up to us and ask for advice straight up, face to face, all the time.
Mm-hmm. I've got this thing. Can you look at it? I don't know what to do.
That's what I was going to say. Say the gay man's would be the essential guide to gay sex. The women's is essential guide to lesbian relationships. This is the key fundamental difference for you.
We talk a lot about sex because it's important for lesbians not to let that go in their relationships, because a lot of times they do. They don't have penises. They're not driven the same way men are. And really, they have to pay attention and make sex happen, or else it does fall by the wayside. So we do pay a lot of attention to that.
What are the elements about sex that you wanted to explore? I mean, because that's a pretty big area of sex and intimacy.
Well, you know, we just actually heard from somebody recently, and I think her name was Pining for My Partner's Pussy. And, you know, she was complaining that she and her partner weren't having sex. They'd been together for 5 years, no longer throwing each other against the wall. You know, instead they want to watch American Idol. And so they were just looking for help, like, what can we do to bring the love back, you know? And the root of it was they weren't even talking about the fact that they weren't having sex. I mean, so when you bring no sex plus a breakdown in communication plus somebody that's horny and needs sex, I mean, it's trouble. So I think just communication is so important when it comes to sex. And people don't always think those two things go together, but they really do.
Well, and in all these chapters, you also have these quizzes and ways in which people can kind of get into what's the truth of, you know, each one of these chapters. And what I love is that not only do you do sex, which, I mean, some of us might think that it's like a guide to sex, but I mean, really, you are looking at a lot of very big kind of messy discussions. And I don't mean that in a sexual way, Peter's.
I love that everything we're talking about, I don't mean that in a sexual way.
I don't. I need to mean more things in a sexual way, I'm feeling. But anyhow, I just might be horny. It's just my time of the month of being really horny. But anyhow, and I've got lipstick and dipstick on the podcast. That's cool. But you have this whole area of braiding your life together, which I think is something that where you just talk about money and you talk about losing your identity, and you can even take a lipstick and a dipstick and all of a sudden they seem kind of like the same person and people start to meld. And I mean, I think those are messy, complicated conversations and discussions, for all of us in relationships. And, You know, how do you approach those for people that seem very layman and like they can actually get to the root of what the essentials are in some of those conversations when we merge our lives so quickly, I think, as lesbians with another?
Sorry, what was the question?
I just mean, how do you...
You got her so excited.
I got you so excited. Well, I'm just curious, like, how do you get to the essentials of giving people guides when they feel like, you know, they're struggling with money or they're struggling with losing their own identity? They're only thought of as a couple. Like, what would be your advice on one of those topics? Just so I can give people an example of how you both view it. Like, so lipstick, how would you view if I said, you know, money is an issue with me and my partner? You know, one of us makes more than the other, and it becomes this parental type of structure in the house, and it creates friction and, you know, and go. Lipstick, your perspective.
You know, everything is so subjective when it comes down to each person's life. But really, I mean, a communication is the absolute glue in a relationship. And so if there's this weird parental thing going on where one partner, you know, makes more money and she's sort of in control of the money, that is going to bleed into so many other areas in their relationship. In the bedroom, it's going to, you know, deal with or bleed into all sorts of things. So, I mean, the most important thing is to not have a power trip and to be communicating. And if you can't communicate without having a knockdown, drag-out fight, you need to get into some sort of professional or maybe some sort of relationship group. But really, you have to be communicating, and you can't have these gigantic power struggles when you're not communicating honestly and openly.
And I think also throughout the book, you'll see that Lipstick and I don't always agree.
No, you don't.
And you know, we've had people tell us, you know, I'll start reading. I'll think, oh, yeah, that makes sense, what Lipstick's saying. And then I'll read what Dipstick says, and then that makes sense, too. And so, you know, there's not one answer to any of the issues that we're dealing with. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to say is, you got to figure it out. Here's some ways to figure it out, but you know, it's not necessarily going to work for everyone. But we're pretty opinionated, so we'll put it down what we think's right.
So I have a really personal question for both of you, and it could be sexual, it could not be sexual. It depends on what your answer is going
to
be.
Let it be sexual. Okay. Let it be sexual. It's the tenor of the night. I'm trying to take it away from there. It's just not happening.
Condensing a lot of the work that you've done and throughout this whole experience with you both doing the column and doing the book, what are some of the things that each of you have learned about lesbian relationships? Because obviously going through all this is not just a learning experience for all of your readers. It's also you guys, the authors, are learning so much from everybody going on. So let's start with Kathy. Let's start with Dipstick. What have you learned?
What have I learned? That's a good question. I think this was more like personal. I think I've learned to, one of the things I've learned in the process of writing this is that, you know, to take my role very seriously, I guess, that when people write to us for advice, sometimes we can be really flip in our answers, but these women are really out there hurting and really looking. There's not places lesbians can go. They can't turn on Dr. Phil and see their lives represented. They can't, you know, flip through the Oprah magazine and get answers to their relationship problems. They have very few places to go. And when they write to us, they're writing to us because they need us. And I think that I've kind of become a little humble in that and just respecting that.
And Gina? Lipstick?
Yeah, I would agree with Lipstick, but I would also add that I've learned to sort of take my own advice. It's easy to dish it out, but it's not as easy to take it. And so I often find myself writing things, and I'm like, wow, I could really actually learn from that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, this voice that comes out of me is Lipstick giving this advice that I think is constructive and most times pretty good. It's interesting. Sometimes I'm like, wow, do you really live your life like that, Gina? So there are times where I'm actually like turning the flashlight back at me and going, okay, let's look at this. So it's actually been really therapeutic.
Yeah. And I would imagine that you've been filled by all of this awareness of just hearing yourself have to be detached from a situation because it's not your relationship and hear what the sane response is, right, as opposed to when we get insane, in which is we have to be a little bit insane to be in them, don't we? I mean, at some point we have that capacity to be a bit insane to be in them, but that you hear yourself in a really sane moment say the, you know, and then are you going to follow through and take the exact same advice?
I mean, really, does Dear Abby ask herself questions? We always wonder this, right?
I don't know.
It's a fascinating paradigm in there. So seriously, now we talked a little bit about, okay, so there was nothing really shocking, but like maybe some of the stuff that didn't make the editorial cut or some of the stuff that never got printed. What's like the most bizarre thing anyone's ever asked you about? If you can divulge.
We've had some strange women writing into us that don't always make sense. and we sometimes get a little chuckle out of it, but we've also had some really one or two kind of upsetting email. Oh, several upsetting, but some that are disturbing. That's a better word. One in particular, this woman, this girl that wrote in that was questioning her sexuality, and there was this neighbor that was much, much older. This girl was underage, and this neighbor was sort of pressuring her to have sex, and Dipstick and I didn't know what to do with that. I mean, you know, we urged her to go to her parents and to talk to them about what's going on with this neighbor, but we never heard from her again, and so. That was shocking and disturbing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And I imagine in the continuum of advice giving, sometimes you might hear the occasional just super cry for help, and then it's sort of, what do I do? How do I help?
Well, they're not problem solvers. They're just advice givers, you know, and that's the difference. I mean, that is the fine line of understanding that people have to have the capacity to change their lives. You can reason it out and get advice from other people. And that's what they do in this book. I'm telling you, you could take your little quizzes. You can kind of see what you
what
feel
What is it about the
them.
Quizzes? Okay, I have
like
to ask
quizzes.
This. What is this
and
about the quizzes?
Lists.
Because in the boys' magazine, we don't really have a lot of quizzes.
Women have quizzes everywhere
oh my
in their
God,
lives.
Honey,
from Cosmo to this, let me tell you. We're
seriously.
All about the quizzes, aren't
so,
we?
What is that? Ladies, what is that
quantifying
about?
Quantifying information.
Really?
Well, the quizzes are, it's all about quantifying, but it's also a good place for us to insert our humor because we're all about that.
Yes, it's exactly true. Do you think that this book, is there anybody who couldn't benefit from this book? I mean, I even think straight women could benefit from your book. But
Hell,
I mean,
I think I need to read
it, too. I think Peter's going to read it now that I'm going to let him read it. But it's for lesbians, coupled and single, lesbians who've been in a lot of relationships or maybe just starting out.
I would say this book is for anyone who is in a relationship or wants to be in one. If you want to be single your whole life, it'd probably be entertaining, but it's not going to help you out.
Yeah. So you truly think
that might be our next book.
Are there people who are, you have a whole chapter, as we were joking before we started recording, that we were talking about the L word. I mean, you have a whole, the Shane effect, you know, chapter on cheating, funnily titled. But, are there people who seriously just are incapable of being in relationships, even if they want to be? Or do you truly think people just don't want to be and they're not being honest about it?
I think people are self-sabotaging themselves all the time. I think people truly want to be, but I think there are a lot of those broken people, you know, the Shane effect that just can't, whether it's something they've learned growing up or something, you know, sort of inherent in their sexual libido, you know, that makes them not a monogamous person. But I think we see a lot of self-sabotaging, and then that ties into the low self-esteem. Why can't I be faithful? Why do I keep crossing these lines, that thin line again?
Yeah.
So
isn't that fascinating? Okay. It's the same kind of conversation whether we're gay or straight, though, I think.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I mean, there's this idea that lesbian women are more confident, more brave, more whatever, you know, that really these low self-esteem women are not as much gay women as they would be straight women. Yeah. And it's just not true. It's something about being a woman in this world that is troubling.
Okay, now I want to spice it up.
Okay,
I want to know one piece of advice from each of you. I mean, you can give me several if you like. It doesn't matter. But I want one piece of advice. The fire has gone out. There is a drought in the bedroom. What can we do?
Ooh. All right, Dipstick.
Well, Dipstick says, get out your fucking calendars and make a fucking fuck date, Dipstick says. You know, if you want to have sex, you got to make it a priority. And, you know, and I also would add, when you make that date, you need to stick to it. You need to have sex on that date and bring something fun in. You know, if you've never used sex toys or, you know, you've never had food, like, start bringing fun stuff, bring pornography in, There's many ways, but the number one thing is there has to be initiative. I think inertia is one of the biggest problems, and that you just got to make yourselves do it. Once you get going, hell, you remember what you've been missing.
Like riding a bike, getting a dipstick, like riding a bike.
And lipstick, Gina, lay it on me.
Oh, I am the biggest proponent of porn. I think it's such a great way to get the fire started. It's like the flint, you know? And so people that say, oh, you know, I'm not into that, or, you know, whatever, get over yourself and go get some porn. If you're not having sex, trust me, it's going to start the fire. So then you can turn it off. You don't have to keep it on. And people need to also, along the same lines, people need to also not be afraid of what turns them on. Because two lesbians together, if they're turned on by, you know, gay male porn, more power to them. If they're turned on by heterosexual sex or a giant orgy, they need to not feel insecure or ashamed by that, you know? I mean, we're all, in the end, we're all animals. So whatever turns us on, and people need to not be afraid of that.
But do you think, I'm going to ask you this because I want your expert opinion. You know, there's all this stuff that there's such bad porn out there that for lesbians or lesbian porn. So do you have any porn that you recommend, or do you not only just recommend lesbian porn or girl porn?
You know, I don't know a lot of good girl porn, to be honest with you.
She likes the gay male porn. See, I'm telling you, I know that's a big phenomenon. The lesbians that like the gay male.
Kinds of different porn. You know, but I can't honestly, off the top of my head, think of great girl and girl porn. No offense to all the filmmakers out there.
That's okay.
But
you can blog about it. You can blog about it and tell us once you discover something that you watch one night. You'll blog and go, Amy, remember that? There, here it is. It's on my blog.
I know what I'm getting you both for your birthdays. There we go.
Yeah, Peter's getting you some porn for your birthdays, or at least lipstick. I don't know what dipstick hasn't really voiced.
I'll get her a date book.
There you go.
Get her a
date book. And a big pen.
A
vibrating highlighter. That would be good. That would be really, really good. Well, folks, Lipstick and Dipstick's Essential Guide to Lesbian Relationship is available now. You can just go to your local gay bookstore, or you can buy it online. And hey, if you want more on the gals, you can visit lipstickdipstick.com, and you all blog as well. How do people, through your website, can they read your blog and also submit columns?
Yep.
Okay. And that's where they can submit questions as well, right? To your column.
Yeah. On our website.
Excellent.
Yes. Everybody pick it up. It's a really fun read. It's a really great gift for somebody in your life, for your lesbian gal pal.
And, or a subtle hint for one of your friends who is lacking in the relationship.
Who's lacking in the relationship.
Girl, I love you.
Right.
This is for you.
That's right, girl. I want all good things for you. Open up your Lipstick and Dipstick's Essential Guide to Lesbian Relationships. Hey, ladies, thank you so much. Keep doing what you do, because women need that from you so much. So we appreciate it.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.